Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially starting at verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is the text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, none of us gets through this life without the cross. That's just the way it is. It happens. At some point in life, the cross will be there. We may think we can avoid it, but it will find us out. So long as we wish to follow Jesus, that will happen. By design, the cross that we are given is going to be more than we can carry on our own. By design, it leads, it drives, it pulls, it forces us to prayer. It drives and it forces us to the Word of God, to the promises of that Word of God. That's necessary. And so it is the common experience of all Christians. The cross will come along as you are going about the business of simply living a Christian life. And then come the choices. Choices to make. If you're living as a Christian, standing up for what is right, be sure that cross is going to be there. It may be when truth is denied and you are given the choice of letting it slide or of speaking up, being unpopular. It may involve suffering that happens to you or your loved ones, and you face whether you handle it by speaking and acting in faith or follow the pattern of the rest of the world and worry and panic and ask, "Why is God doing this to me?" You can see the division sometimes as you walk through the halls of a hospital. And you can tell where there are Christians wrestling with the idea of the cross and the difficulties in life. And it may be prayers, it may be scripture that is quoted, it may be done with some fear and with some worry, but there is that conversation of the soul with God. It may be things that happen, such as over the last week with the storms and the suffering that we see around us. Christians bearing the cross, or Christians seeing the cross and the opportunity to show the love of Christ. Where the cross is, that's where God shows his love to the world. Strangely enough, because Jesus said that he would be lifted up, and being lifted up, he would draw all men to himself. And there is that prophecy in Isaiah that talks about in the last days the mountain of the Lord will be established as the chief mountain, and the nations will stream to it. Why? Because there is the cross, and the message of the love of God to this world. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and be raised. Which, of course, is a thing that human reason cannot understand. So Peter steps out of the role of the disciple and takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. We find the words in the other Gospels, "No, Lord, this should never happen to you." No. human reason cannot understand. What would happen if Jesus had listened to Peter and turned back? If he had, we would be living in a hopeless existence without God, without faith or promise or creed. We sang that in our first hymn. Human reason cannot understand, but there is the cross in the distance, and it begins to loom more and more and more. And the disciples do not want to go there. They do not want to go to that place of suffering. They do not want to see Jesus in that place of suffering, but he will go there. Human reason cannot understand, but these are the ways of God. What are those ways of God? The ways of God are to weigh things in the balance and to choose that your soul is more to be prized than the blood of the Son of God. And Jesus chooses to head to that cross. The ways of God are to say salvation is so much worth it, and to have you living with God forever, enjoying the blessings of God forever, that it is worth it for the Son of God to lay down his life, to bleed and die and be laid in the tomb for your sake. That is the ways of God. And the ways of God are, and this comes right to the heart of what we talk about right now, the ways of God are that Jesus took a hold of the Word of God and held on to that Word of God no matter what. And holding on to that Word of God no matter what, you see that in his life. You see that in the 40 days of fasting and prayer in the wilderness, and then the temptations, and how Jesus answered each of the temptations. First temptation, he answers, it is written. Second temptation, he answers, it is written. Third temptation, he answers, it is written. Holding on to that Word of God. And you see that carrying out in the life of Jesus as he goes about preaching and teaching, and how much of his preaching is simply taking the words of the Old Testament and bringing them alive to the people there. And you see it in the pattern of prayer of Jesus, going out early in the morning, day after day, taking that Word of God into his soul, spending time with his Father so that he might have the Word of God also on his lips, to be in the ears of those around him so that they could have that Word of life given to them. And you see it as Jesus goes to Gethsemane and then to the cross, and in the central prayer of that whole time, what is he doing? He is simply quoting a psalm and the prayer of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Expressing the desire of his heart for that relationship with his Father. Expressing the distress of his soul to be cut off for our sake. But also taking a hold of the words and promises of God and holding on to those words and promises of God no matter what. Which brings us to one of my favorite illustrations. Now, if you've heard this, enjoy it all over again. And it goes like this. I have two ropes in my basement. Oh, I have other ropes, but these two in particular, they're the sturdy ropes, the thick ones. You could put 500 pounds of pressure on either one of them. They're the ropes that you use when you have something really serious to do. Well, one rope, bought this over the last 10 years or so. It's this wonderful nylon rope. Incredibly strong. Also a little bit slick. So when you want to tie something with it, you make sure that you use extra knots. Don't want it slipping. It's beautiful to use. It's nice and smooth. You can just pull all you want all day on it. Second rope is one of these old-fashioned natural fiber ropes. And those of you who are of the proper age know the kind. It'll hold just as much as that first rope, maybe even more. But don't use it without gloves. If you use it without gloves, then you have to use the tweezers. Okay? It's that kind. It will leave fibers of itself in your hands. And that's really pretty uncomfortable. So here's the illustration. You and I were out in a boat on the water, and you fall out. And you're there in the water thrashing around. Now, which of the ropes do you want me to throw to you? And think about it. One of them is nice and comfortable. It's also slick. The other one is going to be real uncomfortable, and when I pull you back into the boat, I'll pull out the tweezers. But it will grab a hold of you. You want the old-fashioned rope, don't you? Because you don't want to have some slick something sliding through your hands when you need to be pulled to safety. That is kind of like the Word of God. See, the Word of God not only is something that you grab onto, the Word of God is something that grabs onto you. The Word of God will dig into you. The Word of God will latch onto you, and the Word of God will get into you. And when it gets into you, it's not always painful. Sometimes it's unpleasant. The Word of God comes along and says, sinner. The Word of God comes along and says, repent. The Word of God comes along and it tells you where you're wrong. But that Word of God is your lifeline. And being your lifeline, being your connection to God, you want that Word of God to grab a hold of you. And the Word of God grabs a hold of you in exactly those places where you need to be grabbed a hold of. And it doesn't let go. The Word of God is that word that will connect you to life. Oh, you could go somewhere and find some other message, some more comfortable message, some message that left you feeling all nice and cuddly, but did not tell you the things that you have to hear for the sake of salvation, for the sake of dealing with sins and hearing of forgiveness of sins, and that actually really unpleasant message about somebody having to go to Jerusalem to have nails driven through his hands and feet and bleed and die for you. That is not a comfortable message. But it is the Word of God that you need to hear for the sake of your soul. It is your lifeline. And so, dealing with the Word of God, we will have this attitude, an attitude that says, it's my lifeline, it is my one connection to eternal life, to forgiveness, to life with God. And so I will grab hold of it, and I will not let go, and I will not go searching off for some more comfortable message. And I want that gospel, that lifeline, to grab hold of me. We have a Lutheran school right across the street. We have about 170 students year after year after year. We have teachers. And the amazing thing with what happens in our school is that our teachers and our students share the Word of God. They share the Word of God and those beautiful promises. They share the Word of God and the teaching about Jesus Christ. They share the Word of God and the message of life, forgiveness of sins, resurrection from the dead, eternity. They share the Word of God also where it says that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They share the Word of God where it says repent. And that Word of God corrects both students and teachers. And gathering around to share that Word of God, to share that lifeline, they get to do the most wonderful thing that you can do in the whole world, sharing the Word of God, sharing the message of Jesus Christ. An incredible thing. Why? They get to do that the whole school day, the whole school week, the whole school year. How great is that? How fantastic is that? Can you think of anything better to be allowed to do with your life? Can you think of anything that you would treasure as an opportunity to share together in the Word of God? And let's ramp this up even more. In a world, this world, where the whole world seems to be running as far from God as fast as it can, they share that one thing that is the lifeline, the one message that can reach out and touch lives for eternity, can bring souls out of darkness and into light, out of condemnation into salvation. What an amazing privilege. Realize, of course, that this is sharing with parents in that work of sharing the gospel. The privilege of being a child of God and being given that message to carry with you through your whole life. How sweet that is. And of course, one final item. Of course, in addition to all of this, there's not only the message and all of the details and everything else. There are promises that are tucked in and woven throughout this whole book of life. Here's some of the promises. From Matthew 10, verse 30, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Or from Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus holds out that promise to us. Let's leave off with that promise in Jesus' name.